Masada base, Friday the 15th of March, Rabbi Gabi Kruskal, Simchas Purim.
Good morning, everybody. This is Avimori, my father, Choshva Kahol. What a pleasure, well, it's just to speak again. El Moshe, in this organization, Torah Way, who spreads Torah throughout the community and beyond. Very beautiful discuss. So, normally we discuss it via halacha in other years, but I saw on Friday the topic was chosen. It says, a topical event, right, in the honor of the Yoma. So, what more topical could we have than Chodesh Adar? Mishenichas Adar Ma'avim V'Simcha. And that's too far, but let's get closer, let's Purim. And that's too far, we've got tomorrow Shabbos Achai. So maybe we could, Bez Hashem, try and tie these events together. The first question is, Misha, Nichlas, Ador, Marvin, Besimcha. The question is, Ador and Simcha, what sort of connection has Ador got to Simcha? Is there any connection why Ador should be Besimcha? And we know there has to be some sort of connection. Because the Gemara in Megillah teaches us that Haman was very excited when he threw his paw, because it fell in Chodesh Adar, and he thought that Chodesh Adar was a devastating month for the Jewish nation, because Moshe was Nifta. But Layada, the Gemara says, he never knew that it was really a very great month and special month for the Jewish nation. So there's obviously something to know which he was misinformed, or he wasn't learned enough, which we can know. There has to be something intrinsic in Adar which makes us happy. What is the secret? What is in Adar? Furthermore, there's something extremely perplexing. There's a Gemara which says Allah in Shachar Chayiv Inish Levesumi. Everyone knows this Gemara. The Puriye, a person has intoxicated himself. Adar Vayada. Now it's a very, very strange halacha, a very strange obligation. Chayiv. If there's anything which Jews value, you know, across the all boards of different Jews, we don't have to be religious, is we value wisdom. We value education. Right? There's no greater ethnic group who has high education or Nobel laureates than the Jewish people. We value wisdom. Chokhmah, which is really supposed to be Chokhmah Selikim, Chokhmah Hashem, the Torah Kedusha. What is getting drunk? Getting drunk is a person taking some sort of substance and switching off his brain, not thinking. How on earth can we claim that our source of happiness, our source of celebration, is through intoxication? What's the secret of Adar? Why is that simcha? Why do we intoxicate ourselves? So, there's many different approaches to this question. Let's briefly discuss one and then focus on a second one. The first one to focus on is the idea of the sina. We know a person is mokav, a person is combined of two elements. This has got to do with the pasha, whoever said the pasha, the odom. Is Adam a person, is the chelik of a behema and a nefesh elikus. Now we may be instinctively jealous and selfish and egoistic, but we also have within us a ruach elikim, a chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed within us a neshama HaKadosha. Now we don't know, we have no idea about anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yirani ha'adam v'chai. But there is one element of HaKadosh Baruch Hu which we do know is what we could observe, what Avraham Avinu observed. Oylam chesed ibona, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world of intense kindness, of endless giving, endless opportunity. And that's what Avraham saw, and Avraham learned, and he taught, he emulated. Mahu rachum, mahu chanun, we see from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even though we have this natural urge to acquire and to take, but there's something godly about us, something about giving. That beautiful feeling which we have when we give, which there's nothing comparable to someone who gives. Someone who takes and someone who gives, there's nothing comparable. The pleasure of giving is this real pleasure, and that's really tapping into the godliness within us, into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The simple pshat in the mitzvah and the simcha of Purim comes from this very element. The mitzvahs of Purim are all focused on giving. Mishloach Mono is giving those who don't need. Matan Sev Yonim giving those who do need. The whole simcha, the whole idea. Chazal say, why is it the Chodesh Vador? You know what happened in Ador? Mashmiim al Hashkolim. They contributed. The Jewish nation, each and for all. There's no difference. There was a unanimous, equal process of giving. Giving generates happiness. It's something you've got to taste, tamuru. It's something you taste and then you appreciate, and then it's intoxicating too, in a different sense. The pleasure, the satisfaction you give by giving is absolutely, there's nothing comparable to that. Because that is tapping into the kulay toiv. Akutshwap is totally good. So that is Ador, Mashim al Ashkolim. And that is focused in a great intensity on the actual day of Purim too. That's a simple chat. Why are we so happy? Because we're giving. But there's another, Chazal say, this year we were zoicha to an extended period of Mishenichas Ador, Ma'al Mesimcha. We had two Ados. You know, the Yeshiv Shalait, they make this joke that the happiest day in the year is Erev Rosh Chodesh Av. And the saddest day in the year is Erev Rosh Chodesh Ador. Why is that so? Because it says, Mishenichas Ador Ma'avim V'Simcha. It didn't say stop. Now it says, Mishenichas Av Ma'avim V'Simcha. So you get happier and happier, you're progressing, till you get to Ador. Then it says, Mishenichas Ador Ma'avim V'Simcha. It doesn't say stop. So you go to Erev Rosh Chodesh Ador. We had 2 years of great Simcha, of Chodesh Ador. Why do 2 months? Why do we have Purim in a second Ador? So the Gemara in Megillah Daf Vav Beis addresses this. Why is Purim in a second Ador? And the Gemara gives us a very perplexing answer. The Gemara says, you know why we celebrate Purim in the second Ador? The Gemara's notion is, that's right. The Gemara says, Mismuch Gula Le Gula Odif. We want to juxtapose. We want to have the idea of Purim, the nest, the miracle of Purim, close by to the miracle of Pesach. And that is something which is difficult to understand. What a combination. What's this combination of Purim and Pesach? It seems like the only thing they have in common is the wine. What was Pesach? Pesach was supernatural miracles. There was the Makkos, there was the Kriyas Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea. In fact, the Pasuk says, the whole goal, the whole purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim was specifically for this point, that we should witness the supernatural and be able to retell future generations that Hashem established once and for all that He is in charge, He takes control of nature, and He surpasses nature. That's the whole goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim, was to be the supernatural. Purim? Was there anything supernatural at all? Was there any miracle at all on Purim? The events were all natural. We know we as Jews who can comprehend and can appreciate, we understand Hashem manipulated events in the story of Purim. But there was no real miracle. In fact, I wonder if we would have been there if we would have not actually missed these dots together. If not for the Ruach HaKodesh of Mordechai and Esther and the story of Esther, there were so many other events that happened in all those years. In fact, even the actual reading of the Megillah, we could actually get the whole story wrong. Just to bring out one episode. Mordechai was rebuking the Jews and he was telling the Klal Yisrael, you know why this terrible gzeirah of annihilation was decreed? Because you enenu misudah zayis rosha, because you ate by the sudah b'chashreish. The question is, if you read the Pesukim, we see actually Haman's claim why he actually had made this decree or generated this decree against the Jewish people. You know why he was? It's not Mordechai. Mordechai was the one who refused to be subdued, right? Haman carried an idol around his neck. Now, just think about this event a second. Haman knew the Jews won't bow down to idols. So he said, let me put an idol around my neck, I'll make a decree that every person has to bow down to me, and let it seem like that they're bowing down to idols. Now, halachically speaking, there's a halacha that there's Yehorik Val Yavoy. A person is obligated to sacrifice life for 3 cardinal Shosh Aviz Chamoris. Were they obligated to give up their life for the Suddah? You know, they could have easily said, you know, this is a danger. We've got to make, you know, we've got to have Shalom Malchus. The king's advice us to party. How can we refuse? Mordechai, if not for Mordechai saying that it's forbidden, this may be fall under the category of a sub-halacha called Avizorayut Gedarayus. That means, obviously, a Persian party was no place for a good Jewish boy to be. We saw what the Megillah describes, what took on, you know, what they discussed and what the sites of that party were. And Mordechai described that it actually was forbidden. But they could have easily argued, we got obligation to go. We don't have to listen to you, Mordechai. You're being a fanatic. And on the contrary, there was absolutely zero obligation for them to give up their lives, not to bow down to Haman, despite the fact that he's wearing idol, because they weren't bowing down to the idol. Rather, he just wanted to seem like they're bowing down, and that's not included in the obligation to be Moisei Nefesh. And nevertheless, Mordechai was Gadol HaDor, refused to be cowed. You know, he stood out for being a Jew. He wasn't going to be subjugated. The people, and Haman said, you know, he was burning with anger, he was fuming. He said, I'm not only going to avenge myself against Mordechai, I'm going to avenge myself against his nation too. So if you look at the events of the Megillah, we actually may have missed the party. We may have said, blame Mordechai, your fanaticism caused the whole decree of annihilation. Sometimes you miss the boat. You know, there was once this person who came home from shul Friday night, and he started hearing from next door, the Rebbe next door, you know, in a high-pitched voice, you know, the tempo and the volume was something he was uncomfortable for his kids to hear. So when he started singing Shalom Aleichem, he sang it with a gusto, with a loud, very loud, extremely loud voice. It was so loud, in fact, that his neighbor came knocking on the door. He said, why are you singing Shalom Aleichem so loud? So he said, I shouldn't have to hear your Eishes Chayil. You know, sometimes we can miss the whole boat. We can start blaming the Mordechai, and we would have missed the boat, and we wouldn't have seen throwing the dots together. So Purim was an event where there was nothing supernatural. Purim was an event where everything was hidden. The famous Gay Rebbe says, Megillas Esther, our goal is to reveal Hester what was hidden. What's the Gemara saying? The reason why we have our Purim in Adar Sheni is this Lemismach Gula to Gula, in order to place the two miracles of Purim and the Yetzias Mitzrayim together. One was the supernatural miracle that was, we set the entire goal, and Purim is something which was nothing supernatural. It was just HaKadosh Baruch Hu manipulating events. Furthermore, there's this Chazal brings down, the Medrash Mishnah brings down, Kol HaMoyadim Asidim Levotil. You know, all the festivals, all the Yom Tovim, when Mashiach will come, will no longer exist. The Pasuk Yirmiyah brings down, Lochein Hine Yomim Boim Nom Hashem, V'lo Yoyim Ro'oit Chai Hashem, Asheheles Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim. We will no longer speak about the miracles of God taking us out of Mitzrayim. They will totally dwarfed by what? They will say, Kim Chai Hashem Ashehele V'Ashehevi Ezer Abis Yisrael Mitzrayim. The gathering of the godless of the exiles, that miracle will surpass and dwarf the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the Gemara says, despite the fact that all the Yom Tovim will be annulled, one will exist. And that is Purim. How on earth do we understand that? You know, we understand that Purim is very special. Purim teaches us that even though we can't feel that Hashem is with you, He still is. Even under such circumstances, that means He's even there too. So how do we understand that? All the grandiose miracles will be forgotten, but that He's even there too. That's what will remain. So let's get things straight. The Jewish calendar begins in Nisan and finishes in Adar. Now there's two ways of calculating a year. There's the lunar year, and there's solar year. Generally the east go with the lunar year, and the west have accepted the solar year. However, the Khazari points out that neither of these are accurate. There's no such thing as a lunar year. In fact, the lunar year would be 29 and a half days. It's a lunar month. The only thing which changes in the moon is each month it waxes, it wanes, and it changes per month. That's what changes. There's nothing which we can observe changed after 12 of these cycles. Not so the other way with the solar year. There's absolutely nothing which happens from our position on Earth and the way the Earth is revolving, which happens monthly. But there's an entire year, the seasons. They change every 12 months, 365 days. The Torah says that we have both the solar year and the lunar month. Every 29 and a half days, it's a new Chodesh. Practically speaking, that's when the witnesses saw the moon. At the same time, the Torah says, when is HaChodesh HaZeh Rosh Chodesh V'Chagah Aviv? We go seasonal, spring. We have the solar year too. So therefore, even though we always say, you know, after Purim is Pesach, it's not really after Purim. The year starts in the sun, and it progresses, and it gets round to Pesach. So Purim may, because of the cycle of year, may inevitably fall before Pesach, but Purim is the end of the year, Pesach, the beginning. So let us discuss Nisan the second. Nisan was grandiose. The Jews came out of Egypt, there was the Makkos, there was the splitting of the sea. Chazal, they give a metaphor. They say that Nisan is compared to a marriage. The beginning of a marriage always comes with a bang. There's the excitement, the wedding, the honeymoon. Kriyas Yamsuf, which culminated in us receiving prophecy. We came to Har Sinai. We all were prophets. And there's a hitch. And we were there 40 years in the desert. But what a 40 years, what a honeymoon it was. Got water from the rock, the lechem and our shemayim, bread from the sky. We were surrounded by a nanei kovod, which ironed our clothes, our clothes grew with them. 40 years of honeymoon. And then we came into Eretz Yisrael and real life started. Our history was not so smooth. Have you ever seen a happily married elderly couple? The trust and dedication to each other is unshakable. You know, the understanding of each other's union says they can't hear each other. The hearing may not be necessarily so good. They actually have to mind read. You have intuition, you know, they probably can't see that well too. But they understand each other. There's something there that's really strong. After all they've been through and been for each other, there's something there which is extremely powerful. That's Purim. Without fanfare, there's unshakable trust. Everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been, everything we've gone through, we've been through so much HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know we can trust Him. Let's take a few events of the Megillah and see this in the events of the Megillah. It started off with a decree being goes away because the Chazal said, Ne'enu misudas HaKadosh. Now literally, that is, people translate that as they partook in the party of Achashverosh. It's not accurate. Chazal say nenu. Nenu means they actually derived an enjoyment. They had a pleasure. Now we described before, the events over there, even though they may have legally been permitted, possibly, you know, Yarug Valiavi to join such a party, but they were held accountable for enjoying such sights and such ideas. They actually derived a pleasure from it. And in that party, Vashti was killed, which seemed to be a terrible event, because even though she oppressed the Jewish girls, but that led the way for what? For Esther Malka. Esther Malka, she's the wife of the God of Israel. She was kidnapped to the king, the palace of the kings of Persia. That was no place for a Jewish girl. A terrible tragedy happened in Israel. And then Moshe, then Mordechai refused to be subjugated and he didn't bow down. And Haman built the gallows for Mordechai. Another tragedy. And that led, there was a decree to kill all the Jews, annihilate men, women, children. But if we would look afterwards at the events, every single item was just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrating and manipulating history. If you look, we know the events. Koresh was the one who allowed the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And then Vashti came along and she told Achashverosh to stop that. To stop the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So when she was disposed, that led the way for Esther to come in. The gallows which Haman built for Mordechai was actually built for Haman. The decree to kill all the Jews, you know what that decree was? That was actually a decree to kill all the anti-Semites. Achashverosh would never have made a decree to kill the anti-Semites. It's only because of these strange laws they had in Persia that he couldn't outrule the original rule, and the original rule said kill the Jews, he had to say kill the anti-Semites. So the path was being cleared, the stage was being laid, that all those who opposed the building of the Beis HaMikdash were being taken out. Each event was, and Esther being taken, yes, Esther being taken led to a Jewish king being implanted in a Persian dynasty, Dayavish, Darius II. And he was the one who allowed the Beis HaMikdash to be built. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was literally orchestrating events, one by one, each terrible travesty and tragedy which occurred, which looked, obviously, which was so incredibly impossible to understand at the time, was a clear manipulation chain of events of HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of his great love for us. That's Purim. We have confidence that regardless of what's going on there, Hashem is there for us. We've been through a lot together and we have that trust. So this elderly couple, they don't take out the wedding album. There's something so much more powerful going on there. It may not be as loud, it may not be as powerful, but it's something which is so strong. However, on Pesach, every on Pesach, we celebrate, we take out the wedding album. We remake what was at the beginning and we relive it. We retell the miracles, the Nisim, how spectacular it was, what excitement there was. That is Pesach. However, nowadays what's going on today is Purim. When God is, we can't see the Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we know Hashem is with us. All that excitement which we relive on Pesach is actually supposed to be contained in Purim. Purim and Pesach have to be together. If Pesach would be on its own, Pesach is not just reminiscing ancient history. You know, speaking about events which happened in the past, how do we feel right now in our days? That whatever stage we are with us, that Hashem is with us now. How do you feel that Hashem's love for us is unconditional? By having Purim first. What better way is there of taking out the wedding album than appreciating this idea of Purim first? Purim and Pesach have to be here together. They help put things in perspective. When we'll be reliving the miracles of Pesach, it won't be just repeating historical events, but actually reliving the events together. That we know that Hashem is no less with us over here today than He was by Kriyas Yam Suf. It's just we can't see it. It's in disguise. But it's this unshakable trust of this elderly couple who've been through so much together. We ask, how on earth can we celebrate through drinking? Through becoming intoxicated? And the answer is, because when we see the chain of events of Purim, we see that the tragedies, all the terrible gezeiros at the time, were actually, like we pointed out, were HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrating for our best. Hashem loves us. It's entirely for our best. Now that's something which no sane person can actually say. What, that all the persecutions, the inquisitions, the pogroms, the Holocaust, that all that was for our good? To be able to actually say that? Who can say that? Which same person can actually say that? But we know it. We know that's Purim. We know it. We have this unshakable faith and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know it, but we can't say it. We've got to switch up our brains for that to be able to express our knowledge of the truth. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truly there for us. You know, I always say my child, when I took him as a little baby for his first inoculation, so he was being injected, and the doctor came along with a needle. So what did he do? He ran over to me. He ran to me, and he jumped on me, and I hugged him. And I held him tight, and I said, don't worry, he won't hurt. And the doctor, I held him tight, and the doctor said, hold him firm. And the doctor injected him, and he held me tighter. That means he ran to me, he trusted me, even though at the time, it may not actually be pleasant, but we know that with unshakable fact, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. We wouldn't want any different. That's the secret. If we would know the reason, we wouldn't want any different. We say in Sheh Malis B'Shiva Shiva Siyim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return, when Mashiach will come, Oz Yimolei Schoik Pinu, our mouths will be full of. So it doesn't say understanding, it doesn't even say comprehension or joy, it says Schoik, laughter. What's laughter? Laughter you do when something's ridiculous. When something, you know, you saw something that's totally nonsensical, it doesn't make any sense. That's exactly what we'll see when Mashiach will come. We'll be able to see the chain and the connection. Right now, no sane person can say it. We've got to actually drink and switch up our minds to be able to tap into that reality. To know that that's the way Hashem made it, and if we would understand it, we would not want any different. They say the story of this mouse. The mouse is walking on the road and he was being chased by a cat. No, so he started talking to Hashem. I'm a nidov. I'm a victim. Please Hashem, listen. And there was the mamash of Eis Rotzen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted. And he said, please Hashem, I don't be the nidov. I don't be the one who's chased. Please change me to a cat. I don't be the one who's chasing. Oops. Eis Rachamim, he was changed to a cat. Soon after, he met a dog. And he started running away again. He said, please Hashem, I want to be the one who's chasing. I want to be the dog. Then he walked home towards a farm, and the farmer came out and started shooing away. He said, I don't want to be the dog. I want to be the farmer. Hashem went to the farmer. A few minutes later, the farmer's wife came running out with the rolling pin. And the farmer was running away. He said, I want to be the farmer's wife. And a few minutes later, a mouse came. And the farmer's wife started running away. He said, I want to be a mouse. Hashem said, that's where you were in the beginning. If we would understand the events, we would not want to be anything different. We would want exactly the same. But there's something which a sane person, once again, can never actually say those words. To say that the Holocaust and all the tsaras and galus was necessary, was good. For that, we have to intoxicate ourselves. So the way Reb Berkowitz says, how do you prepare yourself for Purim? You write a list. Write a list. Every person should prepare a list. Of all their sorrows, of all their pains, all their distresses, a long list. And that's not long enough, so you can add in all the sorrows of Klal Yisrael at the bottom too. And then take a L'chaim cup and go through a list on Purim. Each one, L'chaim. Hashem, this is for my best. I may not know it, but I know it. I may not see it, I may not understand it, but I know it. This unshakable trust, this love which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for each of us. It's no less in our days than in the days of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yes, Purim may be in disguise, but it's necessary to be next to Pesach. Something else? A few more minutes left?
Yeah.
We'll finish with something I once heard, I think from Gavriel Knopfler. Haman, the Gemara says, Lo Yoda. He never knew. He never knew the speciality of Adar. He thought Adar was a terrible time. Why do you think Adar was a terrible time for Jewish nation? Because it says Moshe Rabbeinu died in Adar. The Gemara says he never knew that Moshe was born. So the question is, obviously, if he knew the historical events, and he managed to look in the history books that Moshe was born, or Moshe died, why on earth do you not know that Moshe was born in that month too? So it's a very interesting question. The Pasuk says in Parshas Shemos that the Mitzrayim killed every single baby. They threw every single baby in the river. How do they know when babies are born? Why can they... So the Chazal said they followed the men and women when they came back from Mikvah, and they counted 9 months. By Moshe, however, it says, Vayitmenu, Shloisha Yerochim, she hid him for? How on earth did Yecheved manage to pull out one? The answer is, Chazal said he was born, so Shisha Chadoshim. He was born after 6 months, so she has 3 months, which she managed to hide him. That means, we know Moshe Rabbeinu was really born, which on? Zayin Adar. But the midstream in the historical books, it actually was written 3 months later. Let's try and work out a second. What is it 3 months later? Nisan Zayin, yeah? Zayin Sivan. Zayin Sivan was the day of Matan Torah. Now Moshe, that was Moshe's semel. Moshe symbolizes Matan Torah Yismach, Moshe, the Matnas Kelkoi. Torah's Moshe. Torah's Sivan. Moshe symbolizes Torah. And the non-Jewish books actually understood that Moshe was born on the day which symbolized his Torah. He was born on Zayin Sivan. Now the Gemara tradition says that when a tzaddik is born, he dies and is born on the same day. What does this symbolize? This shows a finishing, a closing circle, a finishing of a tafkid. Every person has their tafkid, their job in life, and when they close it, they finish it, they die on the same day. That shows they've fulfilled their task. So Moshe Rabbeinu's task, obviously, was giving the Torah, and if he would have died the same day as he was born, that symbolized the closing circle, they fulfilled his task. Now there's something which Amalek derives his strength from. What does Amalek derive his strength from? Vayisu mirafidim vayovay Amalek. Chazal said, Vayisu mirafidim, the Jewish nation went away from Ephidim, is a rofu yudeyem, their hands became weakened from their learning Torah. When we don't learn Torah, that generates the idea of Amalek's power, Amalek's strength. That's where Amalek gets the power from. When Moshe lifted up his hands, Gova Yisrael. When Moshe's hands came weak, Moshe the Torah, Gova Amalek. Haman knew that. Haman knew that the power of Amalek, which Haman ben Agogi, Melech Amalek, derived from Klal Yisrael lacking Torah. Now he thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Zayin Adar. He didn't realize he was born 3 months later. And he died in Zayin Sivan. That means he never had his closure. He never fulfilled his... He thought he was born in Zayin Sivan, and he died in Zayin Adar. That means he never filled his, had a closure, he never fulfilled his tafkid of Nesinas HaTorah, which means Rofi Yudei Midei Torah. And it's a great day for Amalek. Zayin Adar, Moshe died, he didn't fulfill his tafkid for Torah, that's a great day for Amalek. Somach, the Lo Yoda, however, he didn't know that Moshe actually was born on Zayin Adar, which means he actually fulfilled his tafkid. And that was actually the power of Torah, and Amalek had no power. So just to put this together, Amalek symbolizes two things. One is Asher Koch HaMaderech, is the Mikra, the whole idea that we have this Purim, this unshakable trust, that we don't see the things clearly, but we know there's a clear chain of events. Hashem is orchestrating and manipulating. Amalek don't believe that. They say everything is random. A Mikra. That's the antithesis, that's the battle between Agogi, Amalek, Asher Koch HaMaderech. They're the ones who say, who come from the lack of Torah, not Torah we know, Ayulim Oysa Oyro, Oyro is the Torah, that's the Simcha. Badakiskan is a Shiraz Ois, that's the true Simcha. So if we know with the confidence that Hashem loves us, and there's no love like that, Ahavti Eschem Amar Hashem, we know with confidence that everything Hashem does is for our best, that generates the greatest confidence and bitachon and security and joy. And of course, with Atha Kiskan is a Shiraz Ois, you should be Zoichet Layhudim Oysa Oyro of Simcha. It's awesome.